You know, with Mary, our suffering is snatched up and it doesn't destroy us. You know, I have recently had another confirmation of this through a young Catholic woman who lost her child in a very tragic circumstances. This is what she wrote to me. I couldn't go to Mass anymore. I couldn't bear to hear about sacrifice. The blood of the lamb, the host, all that made me feel sick. The only thing that could have helped me had become intolerable for me. I associated it all with my own child bathed in his own blood. I couldn't bear to think of Jesus on the cross. I am incensed with God, especially God the Father. He was the one I held responsible. Why did he allow that to happen? I was distraught. God seemed cruel to me. I cried out to him, but nothing. Not one single consolation did I receive. I wanted to scream, to kill myself, to be with my child, the flesh of my flesh. Then I took God aside. It can't be true, Lord. You are not a torturer. Come and prove your love to me. Otherwise, I won't be able to carry on living. And the following day, they were showing the movie, you know, Jesus of Nazareth from Zeffirelli. And I stayed till the end. And at the moment when Mary, all dressed in black, received the lifeless and bloody body of her son into her arms, and she started screaming, her face was bathed in tears, and by the thrashing rain of the storm that had just broken out on Golgotha, everything was dark with a striking beauty. And I recognized myself in Mary's cry. I started to cry for her, for myself, for my child who had died. I cried like I'd never cried before. And then all the fury left me, as if melted away, washed away by the flood of tears. And since then, I'm inhabited by peace and indescribable joy. I know that my child is in glory. It is a certainty of faith, of course, but it is so strong that I find myself even unable to regret what happened. My husband and I soon had another child who will obviously never replace the first one, but now we have two children, one in heaven and the other on earth. God has not taken anything from us. He has given us more. Isn't it amazing to be able to say such a thing? Now, the second terrible sorrow we may have is when the person you love, your husband or wife, for example, dies, or any love. And Mary has gone before us there, too. Well, I have to point out that the love between Mary and Joseph was exemplary. One couldn't find on earth a love more tender than theirs. Of course, Joseph was not that old man, half bald, as we see in some pictures. He was a young Jew, strong as a carpenter and a pious Jew, what we'd call in Hebrew a tzaddik, like he's described in the scriptures, a just man, a righteous man, who loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength. And as the head of the family, Joseph must have left a gaping hole behind him when he died. Well, we are not told anything in the gospel, but we can imagine the Blessed Mother as a widow, so ardently in love with her Joseph. And the grief she felt at his absence was acute. But what was her consolation there? Again, that the hand of God had acted and acted for the good. What an education this heart had to go through, cold as it was to contain not only its creator, but also the whole of humanity. And you see, Mary's great secret in her pain, within her pain, was to love God above all else. I remember the testimony of a young couple where the wife had just returned to the Lord. And before she died, she and her husband were telling me very simply what they were going through. And together we had some very intense conversation. And as she had already reached terminal cancer, her husband told me, "You see, when we first met, Patricia and myself had nothing in common. There was no mutual attraction between us or any desire to be together. For example, I loved traveling and she didn't. I like brunettes and she was blonde. And it was the same for her in relation to me. And yet we loved each other. It was stronger than both of us. And we didn't really understand why. For years, we remained together like this. And then, one day, since we were both looking for a spiritual meaning to our lives, we decided to spend some time in a monastery. And that is where we both truly met God. Then we started to pray together spontaneously. And our eyes were opened. We finally understood why we loved each other so much. Through prayer, each one of us discovered the soul of the other one, and we realized that it was each of our souls who loved the other. How fantastic! We were overcome by this discovery, and it changed our life completely. The more we prayed together, the more we loved each other. And the Lord worked wonders in our hearts. And when Patricia fell ill, we lived through this illness with the Lord. And it is incredible how uplifted we felt. Now that Patricia is with the Lord, abandoned as she was in Him, in her suffering and her illness, it was such a powerful experience, I felt like I was in a dream. On a human level, it was impossible, but God did it all for us. It may seem strange, but I feel an incredible peace and even joy within me. And you know what happened? That's me speaking again. You know, when you look at this man and his marriage, what happened is they went from being two to being three. That's the key. They welcome in their midst the source of their love, as Mary and Joseph did. And then what was supposed to be unbearable, intolerable, became light for them. Yes, light and joy and transfiguration. And that is typical of the Lord. We can easily recognize Him there. Now, the last kind of separation I want to talk about, and perhaps the most tragic one and the most cruel one, is when a loved one, a young person, for example, commits suicide. Well, I'm aware that I'm touching here a very deep wound in our society. So I'm going to let you listen to the words of a young girl, a normal young girl of our time, who had a very powerful experience with the Lord, and who, unfortunately, through a succession of tragic circumstances, felt driven to suicide. What happened was that she was raped, and after that she fell in love with a young man who did not love her. And she had been subject to some very cruel and violent psychological and emotional traumas. And the poor girl had to be admitted to hospital, suffering from depression, and she had had several breakdowns. Well, in short, she was getting nowhere, and she was obsessed with the thought that suicide was the only way out for her misery. You know, at the same time, she loved her family, and it broke her heart to hurt them by killing herself. So since she loved the Lord, and she was sure that He would take her to Himself, she made up this little parable for her family in order to console them from her departure. That's what she wrote. A father had seven children. And he said to each of them, "Here we all love each other. We share together, we can see each other, touch each other, and it's wonderful. But from some reasons that I cannot explain, I'm going to send you all into exile for a time that I will decide myself. And I'm warning you, it will be hard. There will be trials, and especially you will not have the joyful vision of one another that we are enjoying now. You will miss that, but I will give you my strength, even when you can't see me anymore. So, my children, I count on you. I will come back and pick you up at the hour which I will have chosen myself, and which will be the best one. So be patient. Afterwards, we will be together forever, okay? Now off you go." And each of the children came down to earth. I was one of those children. But after a time of happiness and many blessings, I was crushed by tribulations. I was afraid, but more than that, I was heartbroken. I cracked up completely. I had breakdown after breakdown. I went from psychiatrist hospital to psychiatrist hospital. And nobody could give me back my joy of living. Each minute was like an hour of agony. Then I remembered my Father in heaven and I said, oh well, I'm not waiting for him any longer. I'm not able to. I'm going back now. Enough is enough. And that's what I did. And dear parents, that's what I did. I just went back to him. And what will this father do when he sees his child coming back, covered in wounds, with her heart just one big bloody mass of pain? Well, I'll tell you what he'll say. He'll say, oh, my child, you're here already? Couldn't you have waited for me? Oh, I see, I understand. Well, I'm glad you're here. It so happens that I was not doing anything right now. I must have been waiting for you. Come, my child, I will mend your heart. And believe me, this father, filled with love, will embrace her long and hard. He will do everything to show her that he was waiting just for her, that he had nothing else to do but to love her. They will spend long moments in each other's arms, and the fact that the appointment was premature will be forgotten. Only love will exist there. So, dear dad, dear mom, do not feel bad about it. For you too, love is all you want. Now I'm sure I'm with God because He's love. I embrace you.